The SAFA Christmas Carol Concert.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the Royal Military Chapel, the Guards Chapel in London. I'm Jess Bracey, and together with Tim Humphreys, we'll bring you highlights of the Christmas Carol Concert in aid of SAFA, the Armed Forces charity. It was recorded on Wednesday, the 7th of December, in the presence of the charity's president, His Royal Highness Prince Michael of Kent. The focus was the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, and many taken to the lectern were either veterans of the campaign or guests with close family ties to the South Atlantic. Later, you can hear how the soldiers, sailors, and airmen who gave the ultimate sacrifice are remembered and honoured.
Also, as many face the cost of living crisis, I talked to SAFA's chief executive about how the charity's meeting the needs of forces families. Beneficiaries and caseworkers share powerful personal stories, and in a season of mixed emotions, hear how the Christmas message brings hope. Our first carol is Once in Royal David City, led by the choir of the Royal Military Chapel and the band of His Majesty's Royal Marines, Plymouth. The carol Once in Royal David City. The Saffa Christmas Carol Concert is staged each year at the Royal Military Chapel. Generally known as the Guards Chapel, it dates back to the construction of Wellington Barracks in 1834. At the spiritual home of the Household Division, the colours, carried by the Foot Guards since 1770, are displayed either side of the pews. The Reverend Daniel Morgan, Senior Chaplain London District and Chaplain to the Household Division, welcomed the congregation. And it was a proud moment, as this year marks his first Christmas at this historic site of worship.
Coming to London District to be Senior Chaplain is one of those jobs that I'd wanted to do for a very long time. I've been a chaplain to the Welsh Guards previously, and so to come back to London to do this job is really a dream come true.
And the Royal Military Chapel, the Guards Chapel, is steeped in history, isn't it?
It is. There's been a Guards Chapel in London for longer than the current chapel. Current chapel is built in the 1830s, redecorated later in the century, and of course tragically bombed during World War II. So what we have now is largely a 1960s building, but steeped in history, commemorating 10,000 people.
It must fill you with pride to be leading the Saffa Christmas Carol Concert.
Tonight will be a fantastic occasion. Wonderful music, wonderful singing, performers from the Royal Marines Band, the chapel choir singing, the Military Wives Choir. So an evening of great joy, lots of comfortable favourite things, but also some moments of poignancy when we hear from those who benefited from the great work that Saffa does. So a bit like every Christmas, you know, great poignancy, great comfort, but a time of uncertainty for many.
You pick up on those touching moments of the service. As part of that, we are commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict. How will that be remembered?
In the Guards Chapel, we have a memorial to those from the Household Division who fell in the Falklands. Significant numbers, predominantly from the Welsh Guards and the Scots Guards, but others supporting on the Galahad and in the Special Forces. So we will be laying a wreath at that memorial during the service to mark the 40th.
Christmas can be a time for mixed emotions. As a chaplain, what message of hope does Christmas bring?
You have that phrase when something bad happens, or you have a bad day, you say, God knows why. Well, Christmas reminds us that God does know why, because there is, at the start of the Holy Family, is a time of enormous uncertainty, a time of great danger, travelling at a time when all sorts of danger and uncertainty, and there is a faithful Holy Family at the start of the story of salvation, sticking together, being faithful, and living out that message of love that's at the heart of Christmas.
The Saffa Christmas Carol Concert.
Merry Christmas!
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
Ahead of the concert, Tim spoke to Lieutenant General Sir Andrew Gregory, Controller and Chief Executive of SAFA, about just how special this event is for the charity.
For many people, the SAFA Carol Concert is the start of Christmas, the proper start of Christmas. It is a chance for us to engage with many who support the charity in different ways, explain what we're doing and explain why their support, whether giving their time or their money, is so important.
It's been another busy year for us, 2022. What for you, Sir Andrew, has been your particular highlight of the year, a standout moment?
Her Majesty's Platinum Jubilee, celebrating 70 years of her service, her dedication to this country, was vital. Armed Forces Day, a chance for the nation to get behind our armed forces. I was actually in London, where SAFA run an event called 13 Bridges. We too have commemorated 40 years on from the Falkland conflict. We continue to look after the families of many of the 255 British service persons who died during that conflict. For others, when the fighting stopped on the 14th of June, their battle started. And we are supporting many of those veterans, as we are veterans from Northern Ireland, Iraq and Afghanistan. And then obviously Her Majesty died on the 8th of September. Her Majesty had been SAFA's patron for 70 years. She was interested in and very involved in the charity. And like everyone else in this country, we feel a huge sense of loss.
The year has had its challenges, like you've been picking up on there. We've been emerging from COVID, but also addressing the cost of living crisis. How is SAFA addressing this? What's the experience there?
We've seen a significant increase in people coming to the charity. We normally help between 70 and 80,000 people each year. Numbers coming to SAFA in 2022 are about 130% of those coming in 2021. And we've seen a sharp escalation in the last 3 months. Prominent themes, absolutely, financial hardship resulting from the cost of living, mental well-being, the stresses that come from that and other things, homelessness, isolation, the levels of distress are going up. And I think we'll continue to see that. So the support of many people to enable us to do our work is as critical as it has ever been.
We know you've got staff and volunteers all around the forces world. What would you say to them by way of thanks at the end of the year?
I'm humbled, actually, by their level of commitment. And that is both the staff, who go way outside their job descriptions and want to make a difference, and our volunteers, who give their time in the most extraordinary fashion. And the combination of the two is as powerful as anything could be, because we change lives and we should be very proud of that. One of the challenges we face is that too often military people are too proud to ask for help, and SAFA is there for them. So whether you're a military family just struggling a bit with the cost of living or whatever, or a veteran who's finding life tough for whatever reason, please don't be too proud. Please ask for help, because SAFA and the other military charities are here for you to recognise your service to this nation.
Thank you.
I'm Tim Humphreys, and you're listening to highlights of the Christmas Carol concert in aid of SAFR, the Armed Forces charity. The focus was the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, and Jess Bracey spoke to Henry Jones, grandson of Lieutenant Colonel Herbert H. Jones, who died in the campaign, about the legacy his grandfather left.
I find that he inspires me day to day. The sacrifice he made and the kind of bravery that he showed in the Falklands, I think, is incredibly inspiring. And I'm so sort of proud to be his grandson, and I'm so sort of thrilled that his kind of legacy lives on, and that he and everyone else that served in the Falklands are remembered rightly.
And back in 2019, you went to the Falklands. What was that experience like for you to actually go down to the South Atlantic and see it in person?
It was almost accidental. So I went to the Falklands the first time when I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And that was a very unusual experience because I couldn't quite comprehend what I was sort of visiting. You know, you are 8,000 miles away. It is very cold. It's very windy. It's very rainy. There are a lot of penguins. It kind of feels like Wales in a way, or somewhere in Scotland. And as a result, it was a sort of less somber occasion than I guess I imagined. And then when I returned, it was really moving. I think I was able to fully understand kind of what the Falklands represented. The sacrifices that were made again became far more visceral. You know, I've always had this kind of unshakable bond with the Falklands, but actually it was the first time that I really understood why that was and why that actually had value, rather than just, you know, my grandfather served in the Falklands. It was actually understanding what that really meant sort of metaphorically.
This year, as we do mark the 40th anniversary, you're here at Guards Chapel for the SAFR Christmas concert. Tell us about the reading.
It is a joyful reading, really. It is kind of reflecting on the magnitude and the excitement of Christ coming down to earth. I was rehearsing it last night with a friend of mine, and we were saying, actually, it's meant to be incredibly exciting. It is the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes that will come and change the world forever. And it feels like a sort of, as cliche as it is, a sort of real turning point in the kind of, you know, the Christmas nativity story.
Tell us about your connection with SAFR.
I grew up in a military family. My father was British Army. Most of my family, to be honest, have been kind of either Army or Navy. And so SAFR has just been a kind of presence since I was really young. I sort of was constantly aware of SAFR about, and that's just a compliment to them. You know, they were almost omnipresent. That they, you know, especially during tours, you know, my father and his colleagues, you know, deploying to Iraq, deploying to Afghanistan. And I was always, you know, one of the families that, you know, you are left behind. And, you know, I think deep, dark winters on Salisbury Plain in Bulford or Tidworth, whatever, it can get pretty miserable, actually, you know, having your loved ones away. And I think SAFR was just this presence. They do so much for families and veterans. My experience with SAFR is just overwhelmingly positive, because they are acutely aware of the nuances and difficulties that are faced by forces families, and do, you know, an enormous amount to support them, because it's a very, very unique position to be in. It's sort of unlike any other family where your loved one is serving in a role. Actually having a loved one in the forces deployed on operations or whatever, that is, it's really difficult to comprehend. And so having a group like SAFR that understands that kind of acutely is priceless.
Especially at a time like Christmas, where you do have loved ones, friends, colleagues serving overseas at this time of year. Personally, what does Christmas mean to you?
Kind of growing up, again, as sort of, I felt especially close to my family around Christmas. Being associated with the military, you are away from each other for any number of reasons throughout the year. And obviously, there are so many servicemen and women who are deployed overseas at Christmas. But for those lucky ones that are at home at Christmas, it is this sort of really special moment. I think whatever your faith, whatever you believe, Christmas kind of symbolizes this time where we actually all do come together. And I think growing up, especially for me, that felt really, really powerful. You know, it's not a sop story, but it was this sort of rarity. You know, actually you come together after all that's been the past year, and you kind of gather around the table, and it's especially meaningful. You sort of recharge on that human connection with all those that you haven't seen in a while. It's absolutely magical.
Thank you. O Holy Night, as sung by the Military Wives Choirs. A poignant part of the worship was the laying of the Falklands War Memorial Wreath by Reverend Daniel Morgan and Wing Commander Kirsty Bushell, CBE, National Vice Chair of SAFR and Trustee of the Military Wives Choirs. I spoke to Kirsty and started by asking about her military career.
I served in the Royal Air Force for 24 years. I served with different squadrons around the world and in Norway and in the Gulf and spent time in Kosovo. Most of my career was in infrastructure and welfare, so I was always involved with people and places, and so that's why my role in SAFR and Military Wives is so important, with those years of service as a serving mother and wife and deployed. So it's great to be part of these organisations going forward.
Your part with SAFR has been constant throughout your service.
Yes, yeah, so when I was first a young officer in Germany, my neighbour was a SAFR sister, and I always knew of SAFR. The RAF used SAFR as their social work service. There's always a SAFR person at the end of the phone to help you, and that's what some of this is about, is making sure that people who need our help can access it. But for me, SAFR as a tri-service charity, looking after servicemen and women, their families and veterans, means that we look after you really throughout your life whenever you are in need.
Especially at this time of year where Christmas is a time for celebration, but also for missing those loved ones who are serving away.
Yeah, and I think it is so poignant, isn't it, that of course we are a multi-faith organisation, but there is still a large Christian element in that Christmas time in people who have those traditions. And for those who have lost loved ones or for those who are injured, it's a really poignant time to remember what went before and what they're missing. And for those who are serving a part in overseas, and so many at the moment are deployed overseas, and as we see all that's going on in the news and where the military are being drafted in to help, we know that more people will be apart from their loved ones, and this is really meant to send a Christmas message of support.
And you touched upon the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict and also an anniversary for the Military Wives Choir as well. They're playing a very special role this evening. Tell us more about that.
So this is the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, which for many of us is the first conflict that we can remember. It was really beamed into our living rooms, wasn't it? And that was a terrific long-distance campaign in war, and has left many people who were lost there and great service and courage, and for many of those who came back with great injuries. The 40th anniversary this year has been bringing together people to remember what happened and commemorate those that were lost and celebrate the victories won, and for the Falkland Islands to say thank you. So in SAFR we wanted to really support those individuals and make sure that this memory was really held, and we're delighted that we're part of it this evening.
And as for the Military Wives Choir, they'll be performing. Tell us about that as well.
When we do the Falkland Islands Memorial, they'll be singing Abide With Me, and we will be laying a wreath here in the Guards Chapel, and that's for a moment in this service to hold together to remember that 40th year. And as we in the Military Wives are in our 10-year anniversary, we have many people in our choirs who have lived through some terrible times themselves, and they'll all be thinking of all of those that came before them and will go beyond them as wives, spouses, teachers, partners, daughters, sisters, and that's really important to take that generationally forward.
Thank you.
In commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, contributors included veterans of the campaign. Rear Admiral Jeremy Larkin, DSO, played a strategic role in the South Atlantic in 1982.
I was the captain of HMS Fearless, which was the ship from which the landings were planned and delivered. And then we had in the San Carlos base, we had 3 weeks of air attacks. So I spent a lot of my time swatting off aeroplanes. I've just recently come back from the Falklands as a guest of the government for the 40th anniversary. And of course, San Carlos now is a very peaceful place.
How was it to return on the 40th anniversary and seeing the difference in those years?
Well, the difference is enormous, and to the Falkland Islanders, the 82 is almost like the junction between BC and AD. It's transformed, and of course Stanley is now a prosperous small town, very small town, but very prosperous, and the majority of the islanders live there. The rest of them, of course, a small number, live out in camp. But there is a transformation. The island's entirely self-supporting from an economic point of view, which is magnificent. But I was very interested to meet an Argentine journalist who I spent a little time with, and he'd just come back from Kherson in Ukraine, and he said, gosh, I now think I understand what it's like when someone invades your country.
Touching upon the Falklands conflict 40 years on, that's been marked this evening at the SAFA Christmas concert. Tell us more about your involvement tonight.
Well, I've been honoured by being invited to read a lesson. I'm reading the lesson of the Three Kings, which is a passage I particularly enjoy, so I'm looking forward to that. And I hope I can make a contribution to what's a very important occasion for SAFA. And I'm thrilled it's so well and richly supported, and I'm looking forward to making my contribution.
And SAFA must have been a staple throughout your entire career.
It was indeed, and it was a tremendous and very important backstop for all sorts of people who had very real problems, as people who spent a long time away from home necessarily do. I had a wonderful ship's company, but knowing SAFA was there at a very difficult time was a terrific reassurance, and I knew SAFA did great work during the Falklands campaign and was a very important element of moral support to our families and loved ones.
Of course, to this day as well, with veterans.
Absolutely, and of course there are many people who have suffered in things that have happened since, as well as during the Falklands, and a lot of the trauma, which we actually learnt to understand rather better post-Falklands than before that, and of course going on to the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, people come back and with life-changing difficulties. It's not just dreadful physical wounds, and SAFA is of course tremendous in providing very important support, and it defers all the resources it can be generous to provide for it.
And events such as this are certainly a wonderful way to raise awareness of the incredible work that they do, especially at this time of year for Christmas.
Absolutely. Christmas is a time for joy and reflection, and I think the whole example of SAFA and Christmas context, and this carol concert in particular, is a lovely introduction to Christmas. We're all getting geared for it. And it's a very important time for lots of people, not least service families, and particularly service families who now may be separated.
the SAFA Christmas Carol Concert.
The FBS. The Forces Station.
Service chiefs, personnel, civil servants, stakeholders and charity heads heard the powerful personal address of Ali Mastan, a former rifle soldier who not only had been helped by the charity, but now chooses to give back by helping others. He shared some of his story with me.
I served for almost 12 years in the armed forces, 10 of which were in the rifles. I served on Op Herrick 20 and Toral 1 in Afghanistan.
And I understand that from your tour of duty in Afghanistan, you were particularly recognised and singled out, weren't you?
I received a recommendation from the DOD, and also on return, I won the Ex-Forces in Business Inspiration of the Year 2018. The award was in recognition from utilising transferable skills from the military to a civilian career. I was working for a recruitment company, utilised my military knowledge to take my career forward.
And also on Civvy Street as well, following your time in the Rifles, you and your two children found yourselves homeless. Tell us a little bit about that time, if you're able.
From being at the top to making mistakes and getting into a legal battle with a local authority, I spent every penny I had on legal fees, and eventually we had nothing and we became homeless. This is the time I reached out to SAFA for help.
And what practical help did you receive at that time for you and your family?
There's a stereotype about SAFA, you know, in the armed forces. People refer to people in need as being SAFA cases. That misconception should change, because I literally picked up the phone and within 2 weeks, my caseworker had the children I housed and offered support in the form of therapeutic support. That was through Op Courage, and that gave me a space to talk through my trauma and personal issues.
What did that help mean to you personally at that time, and even now looking back on it?
SAFA's help enabled me. It supported me on so many issues with life, to the point where there aren't so many issues with life, and it's enabled me to have, a fulfilled life now. And there's nothing that's not achievable, in part due to SAFA's contribution.
And now you are helping others as well. Tell us about the work that you volunteer with SAFA.
After receiving SAFA's help, it was clear to me that I wanted to replicate what I had received to other veterans, because I'm sure there are people, past and present, that will be in the position that I have been in and that I'm in now. And I felt with my experiences that I could share and help members of the armed forces and veterans.
And it must really spur you on and motivate you when you know that you've helped other individuals.
It does. I see and feel what I felt when I was helped. And for the people that are offering the work, as in, you know, volunteering, it's quite easy. But to the person, the beneficiary, it's everything. And I think there are too many people out there suffering in silence. And the more people caseworkers can reach, the better. If there are people in need, that they do reach out and ask for help. SAFA doesn't judge, and the help is there.
Thank you.
The SAFA Christmas Carol Concert.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
The annual concert's an important fundraising event for SAFA, organised by its Central London branch, led by Chair Lady Alex Walmsley. The congregation heard of how the funds raised by the charity go towards helping Forces communities. Prison InReach caseworker Henrietta Mallett touched on this in her address. She spoke to Tim about her work.
Well, it's a voluntary role that I do, and it's prison-based. So I look after a particular number of veterans in Pentonville, and I'll go in there usually about twice a week and support them in a number of ways that I can.
So for the veterans, that must mean a lot for them to have SAFA there with you supporting them.
Yes, I think it is good to have SAFA there and to have someone as well who is not a prison officer in uniform, someone from the outside and who's representing a charity that really does understand them and situations and occasions that they've been a part of before they've been in prison.
You're a volunteer with SAFA. What motivates you to go and do the role that you do in Pentonville?
From a young age, I've always been very interested in prisons. I always knew of SAFA, having been part of a military family, and it was an opportunity that presented itself and one that I certainly wanted to take. And I do believe that that support is invaluable to the veterans.
What do you get from being a volunteer there with the veterans at HMP Pentonville?
I get a huge amount. It's extremely fulfilling, and I do believe that the even at times very small amount that I can do for them does make a big difference.
It's amazing, isn't it, to be able to give that hope then through the work that you do?
Yes, no, it is, and that's why I do it. It's a great feeling to be able to make those changes for them.
This is a fundraising event, the SAFA Christmas Carol Concert. Presumably money raised here, money raised all around the Forces world will go towards yours and other good works that the charity are doing.
Yes, which is really important, and that money just goes so far, and particularly with the work that I do in prison. There are times when it's of great use and can really support the veteran.
So it must fill you with great pride to be involved today in the Christmas Carol Concert.
Absolutely, yes, it is. It does fill me with great pride, and also it's a wonderful occasion to be a part of, and I really hope that this evening I can deliver what I'm going to say and really make people understand the difference that they can make by the money that they give to SAFA.
SAFA Christmas Carol Concert.
Merry Christmas!
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
During rehearsals, I took a seat in the pews and spoke to Caroline Wyatt, who gave a Bible reading at the service. As a former BBC defence correspondent, she's covered conflicts in Iraq, Kosovo and Afghanistan, and says it's given her a greater appreciation for the work of the armed forces and the charity.
Yes, and I think what SAFA does that is so crucial is that it isn't only supporting veterans, the people who serve, but also the families of those who serve, because I think that sometimes gets forgotten that if someone is away fighting a war, they're not the only one fighting that war or serving. Their family back at home is as well, and especially if things go wrong.
That view from home, from the UK and also from coverage in the US as well over the years, must bring that greater understanding. How do you think we perceive that kind of wider forces work and forces family from the other view, from the civilian view, perhaps?
I think sometimes not enough, that because our armed forces, relatively speaking, are now smaller, certainly than they were during the Cold War in the 80s when I first got to know them, that unless you happen to live near a military base or have someone within your family serving, that the understanding, the first-hand knowledge of what it's like to serve within the armed forces, that, to a much greater degree, is lost. I think sometimes there's slightly almost a puzzlement as to what is it that you do if you're not fighting a war. And you can say to people, well, actually, you know, the armed forces are incredibly busy doing peace support operations and other things. But because those aren't on our screens in the way that the war in Afghanistan or Iraq or before that, the Falklands was, that it's sometimes harder for people to really grasp.
Also on that sort of view from home, view from the family, you suffer MS, multiple sclerosis. You've reported on that, your own journey and on other health treatments. For personnel and families supported by SAFRA and other military charities with health issues, does your involvement here with SAFRA give a better understanding and a greater poignancy almost?
I think that for me, having been diagnosed with MS, what it has done is, having reported on the forces, reported on a lot of the wounded, the injured, and also on families who are bereaved, that being diagnosed with MS gives you a different level of empathy, perhaps, with what people go through when you do get either a health diagnosis or you lose a limb or something similar that suddenly turns your life upside down, makes your life completely different, makes you realise that you need help and support from outside, whatever that help is, whether it is simply having someone to listen to what you're going through, or whether it is actually, I need more money because I'm spending more on my health, I might need a wheelchair, or whatever it is, that has made a difference in my understanding of what people go through. And I think that, again, what SAFRA does is that it offers that help in a way that people don't feel kind of condescended to. They really feel that SAFRA is there with them.
We're sat here in the pews of the historic Guards Chapel in central London, just a stone's throw from Buckingham Palace. What are you most looking forward to?
I think seeing lots of people who, over many years, I interviewed in defence, and just seeing those familiar faces, catching up, finding out how people are. And, you know, I really do miss covering defence, because I just thought the people within it were some of the most remarkable people I've ever met in my life. There's quite a few people who I know are coming this evening, and I just want to catch up, find out how they are, because I think Christmas is that kind of wonderful time of not just getting families together, but seeing old friends as well, and seeing old acquaintances too.
That's just about all from the SAFRA Christmas Carol Concert at the Guards Chapel. Our thanks to the charity, the Reverend Daniel Morgan, and all who hosted VFBS at Wellington Barracks.
If you've been affected by any of the subjects raised in this programme, there's more information about where you can access support on our website, bfbs.com/audience support. Have yourself a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll leave you with the carol, Hark the Herald.
Online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS, the Forces Station.